remain standing if you will. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered. But because of the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They all sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Thank you. You may be seated. Back to 1 Peter today. If you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, that's where we'll be this morning. First Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, and having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know, Peter is sending a message in his letter here. He challenges us to live godly lives, no matter the trial, no matter the suffering, or the persecution. You see, circumstances do not affect godly principles in life. Our lives and our testimonies are to always exhibit the hope of salvation in Jesus Christ, no matter what's going on in our lives. And I recently, just a couple days ago, had an opportunity to see this as I visited someone who, barring a miracle from God, in human terms, is a dying man. But as I visited him, he exhibited what I just read to you. He's exhibited what I just spoke. No matter the trial, no matter the suffering, circumstances do not affect godly principles. His faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke that, and I could see the peace of God over this man, even in the midst of what he's facing. And this is what Peter is calling for us. This is what he's challenging us to do. To live our lives before the world in such a way that Jesus Christ can be seen. Peter says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims." Sojourners are is just temporary residents. They're passing through. Pilgrims, they're on a journey. And so he says, "I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." Peter is real serious because he says, "I beg you to do this. I beg you to do this. I beg you to abstain from fleshly lust." The word abstain means to voluntarily restrain from doing or having something. You know, that's why regular periodic fasting is so important, because it helps discipline ourselves and discipline ourselves over our bodies, and to have the lead over our bodies rather than they have lead over us. It breaks things in us that try to war against the soul. The soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And that's where the war takes place. Warring against the soul. Warring, he says, "I beg you to abstain, to voluntarily restrain from doing or having the fleshly lust which battle against your mind, your will, and your emotions." Abstain. Romans 8:13. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." You see, Paul is saying the same thing Peter's saying. If you live according to the flesh, if you feed the flesh, if you satisfy the flesh, you're going to die. Now, you may die physically, doing some indulging in some of that, but you will die spiritually. That's what Paul is saying. You'll die spiritually. If you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit of God, you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. You'll have life. You'll have a spiritual life in Christ. But you have to die to the flesh. And that's what Paul is speaking of there. Is die by the Spirit, putting to death the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of the body. Dying to self. Dying to those fleshly desires that war against your mind, your will, and your emotions. Galatians 5:17. "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit." Here's the battle. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. They're opposites. They're opposites. And we say oftentimes in humanity, opposites attract. Well, in the spirit world, in the spirit realm, opposites clash. They battle. They fight against one another. The spirit against the flesh. The flesh lusts against the spirit. The spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another. They contradict one another. They try to eliminate one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. And whichever one is given the most attention, whichever one is fed the most, is going to be winning the battle. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, beginning in 21. If indeed you have heard him, Jesus, and have been taught by him, Jesus, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt. The old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. See, Paul is mirroring what Peter's telling us. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, self-righteousness is worthless. And too many Christians go through life operating in self-righteousness. They do a little church, they do a little word, they do a little prayer, they do a little deeds, and they're full of self-righteousness, thinking their self-righteousness is all it takes. And I just read from Ezekiel what he says self-righteousness will do. Nothing. Self-righteousness does nothing, and self-righteousness is nothing. If you indeed have heard him, that is, meaning if you've heard Jesus' call on your life and you've responded to it and received him as your Savior, then you're being taught by him as the truth is in him. If that's the case, Christians, then you put off concerning your old ways. You put off concerning the ways you used to live. In other words, abstain, as Peter said. You stop. You stop doing that. You put off those things of the old man, the old person, the old you, which grows corrupt. Because if you don't, that's what happens. You can be saved and still try to live in the world, and you will become corrupt. You'll be corrupted. Your soul will be corrupted. Your mind, your will, and your emotions will be corrupted. Your flesh will be corrupted. And your spirit will be corrupted. But he says you put that off because it grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. You see, the things that we lust after in the world deceive us. Because those things tells us that we're going to receive satisfaction and pleasure and contentment from those things. And then when we engage in those things, we find out it's a lie. That's right. We find out it's temporary. We find out that it does corrupt. And it does cause us spiritual death. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do you renew your mind? You got to put something new into it, but not something new from the world. He says, put that off, put that out of your mind, but renew your mind with new things from God, new things from the Word of God. And you know what? You can find something new every day in God's Word. You can find something new every day in the Word. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new person, the new man in Christ, which was created according to who? God. Not according to the world. You see, the world says, look like this, act like this, be like this. That's according to the world. But he says, put on the new person. If you have heard Christ's call on your life and you've been taught by him the truth, then put on the new person that he created you to be, that God designed in true righteousness and holiness, not self-righteous and self-holiness. Self-righteousness is worthless. And when we get to become self-righteous, we're headed for a fall. The word says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. James 4:1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Wars and fights, where do they come from among you? Those wars are battles. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members, meaning your flesh? You see, your flesh causes battles, causes fights and arguments. And at the root of all of it is pride. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's the root of it. Where do wars and fights come from among you? They come because I want what I want, not what you want. I don't like what you said. I don't like what you did. So I'm going to fight. You see, wars and fights come, they come from your desires for the pleasure that you want. We're so blessed in so many ways, and yet it's not enough. Because He's not enough. You see, that what you're reading on the screen is because He's not enough. Because if He was enough for you individually, it wouldn't matter what your spouse or your friends or your neighbors did or wanted or said, because He's enough. You don't have to fight over anything because you're content with Him because He's enough. You don't need the pleasures that your flesh wants because He's enough. You don't want those. You don't need those. You don't desire them because you desire Him. And He is the only one that satisfies. He's the only one that satisfies. Romans 7:23. But Paul says, or 7:21, I find then a law, meaning a principle, that I find then a principle, a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. My heart wants to do right, but I see another law, another principle in my members, in my flesh, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, which is my flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You see, Paul is saying, the spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. That's what Paul's describing there. I want to do right. My heart wants to please God, but there's this other thing working in me in the flesh that's warring against it, that's battling against it, against my mind, and trying to take me captive in sin, which is in my flesh. And that's where most sin occurs, is in the flesh. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am. You see, Paul realized, oh, wretched man I am. Any ounce of self-righteousness is worthless. Any ounce of pride is destructive. What causes wars and fights among you? It's pride, people. It's pride. Because you got to win. I got to win the argument. I got to win the fight. I got to win. I got to get my way. And I'm not willing to relent. And you know what? You're going to have a miserable life if you go through life that way. Because you're going to constantly be in a fight. You're going to be fight with your spouse or your family or your co-workers or your boss or your children, or somebody you're going to be in a fight with if you got to win. Listen, you don't have to win. Jesus already won the fight.
Amen.
If he's enough, he's enough. You don't have to win. You've already won. You know, when we win an argument or we win a debate, we think we're winning something, and we're not. It's pride. It's pride. Paul said, my mind wants to do right, but the flesh is overpowering it. You know why? Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Meaning this flesh. You see, God put us in a body, to live in a body. But we are spirit. We have a spirit, and that's our connection with God, and His spirit is our spirit. But we have a soul. That's our mind, our will, and our emotions, and we have a body. And he said, well, God, why did God do that? Well, I don't know. I'll ask him when I get there. But all I know is that's how he did it. But he gave proper order to all of them. And Paul says in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who, wretched man, who's going to deliver me from this death? This body of death, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is the answer. That's what Paul's saying. Jesus is the answer no matter the question. No matter the issue. No matter the fight or the argument, Jesus is the answer. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You see, that's the battle. I want to serve God, but the flesh is battling against me. Well, here's why. Here's why. Here's why your mind wants to do right, but the flesh is overpowering it. It's because the Spirit is not in charge. His Spirit is not in charge of your spirit. His Spirit is not in charge of my spirit. That's why. You see, there's a correct order that God gave, and this is the order. First, in first place is the Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit has to be first. Can we put that up, please? The Spirit has to be first, always. And then the soul, your mind, your will, and emotions. Your mind, if the Spirit is in first place, if the Spirit is fed first, if the Spirit is held at the top, then the mind, the will, and the emotions will follow the Spirit. And when your mind and your will and your emotions are following His Spirit, your spirit following His Spirit, then the flesh is going to follow them. That's the proper order. And what happens to us, nobody's excluded, is we get this out of order. And what happens is, when temptation comes, we dwell on it and we start feeding the flesh. Or we get self-righteous and we start satisfying the flesh, because in our mind and our emotions, what causes fights and wars among you? Your emotions get caught up in it, and then the flesh jumps right in. And where does the Spirit go? It drops down out of the way. And then it's all a free-for-all. And you know why? It's because number one is not being fed. If you're not feeding your spirit with God's Word and God's Spirit, then your spirit's going to get weak. And it won't stay in first place. The soul will take over. Your mind will start traveling. Your emotions will respond and react. And your will be yours and not His. You see, that's the proper order. God's given us a proper order for this place we live in. Keep it in order. And the only way to keep it in order, God's Word and God's Spirit. God's Word and God's Spirit. And it doesn't come by coming in here on Sunday morning and just listening to me for a few minutes. It comes from you feeding your own spirit. You feeding the Word. You eating the Word. You digesting the Word and planting the Word in your heart. As the psalmist wrote, I'll hide your word in my heart so I won't sin against you. You see, that's the restraint. Without it, there's no restraint. Without the Spirit of God and the Word of God, the mind, the will, and the emotions has no restraint. And the flesh will drive it all. Lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life will take over. Verse 12. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. The context of the Gentiles there are unbelievers, or the world. Having your conduct honorable toward the world. Honorable conduct, what does that look like? What does honorable conduct look like? Philippians chapter 2. Do all things, verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Complaining and disputing means grumbling and arguing. Just to put it in context. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Can anybody say that's me? Nope. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. The word of life. Do you see that? This is the word of life. Let's put that back up, please. This is the word of life. And he says, holding fast to the word of life. That doesn't mean just carry your Bible around and hug it. That's not holding fast. Holding fast is putting it in here. Putting it in here so it gets here. Putting it in here. So it gets here. That's holding fast the word of life. This is life, folks. You want to have a better life? You want to get rid of and cut down on these fights and wars among you? You get in God's word and he will disarm you. He will disarm you. He'll disarm your pride and your ego and your need to win all the time. Your need to be right all the time. The word of life. It's the word of life. Matthew chapter 5, 16. He says, let me go back to Peter. He says, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run or labored in vain. In verse 15, so that you become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That's the world we live in. So you have a choice. You go along with it, or you exhibit something different in it. Harmless children of God without fault in them doesn't mean perfect. But what he means is, and what Peter's saying is, don't live like the world. Live like the man or the woman God designed you to live like. So that the world can see that. so that the world can see that. And then in Matthew, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What's your light look like? You see, this, your light is run off of power. It takes power for a light to burn. And this is the only thing that charges your light. This is the only thing that gives power to your light. When you're operating in self-righteousness and you go out there trying to speak the word to people out of your own self-righteousness, they might look at you and nod and listen, and in their mind they're thinking you're full of crap because they know the difference. If your light is not charged with the power of God, then it's dim and meaningless. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, when Jesus did some things and he did some miracles, there were a lot of unbelievers watching and they saw what he did and they glorified God because they realized that's who it was from. And that's what Peter and that's what Matthew is saying we're supposed to do. Is live our lives in the world so that people will see that's God. And they'll know the difference. They'll know the difference. Some of them won't. You can fool some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. All right. What does your light look like? And you see, we think about our light shining on the street in all kinds of places. It needs to be shining everywhere. Your light needs to be shining when it's just you and Him. When you get in your prayer closet, your light needs to be shining, just you and Him. That's where the light gets charged. This is a charger to your light's battery. To your life's battery, really. Titus 2:7. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. Integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. You know what he's saying? Titus is saying the same thing that Peter's saying. Live your life before the world in a way that God designed you and tells you to live it. And they won't be able to speak against you. They won't be able to take you apart and say, well, look at that and look at that and look at that. No, they'll say, wow, maybe I need some of what they got. That's what he's telling us, folks. People need to see you as a believer and desire what you have. Just like the man I told you I visited a couple days ago on a, by all human terms, on a deathbed. His light was shining. He was in pain. He wasn't happy. But I saw joy in his face and in his voice because his hope was in Jesus. And his peace was coming from Jesus, not from doctors or medicine or things that they couldn't do or could do for him. It came from God. And you could see it. And you could sense it. in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. And don't think, don't get this good works mixed up in ushering and greeting and kids and all that. The good works are doing the things of God. Amen. Planting God's word, praying, communicating with Him, praying for others, blessing others. Bless those who curse you. Those are the good works He's talking about. Bless those who persecute you and say all kinds of ugly things about you and lie about you. Bless them. So, what is my conduct, or what is your conduct, what is our conduct when things are good? Are you prideful? Man, I got it going on. Are you arrogant? Am I self-righteous? Am I self-sufficient when things are going good? I don't need God right now. I mean, I know He's there as my safety net, but I'm doing just fine myself. You see, when things are going good, we can still be going bad. So when things are bad and the pressure's on, when things are not going your way, when you're not happy about things that are happening or have happened, or you feel like it's been not fair or didn't turn out the way you planned it or thought it should be, the pressure's on. What's your conduct then? What's my conduct? Is it angry? Defensive? Accusing? Pointing the finger? How about the language? Forked tongue? You see, this is why Peter said, I beg you to abstain. Because these are the things we need to consider. Worship team, would you come? What is my conduct when things are good? What's my conduct when things are not good? When the pressure's really on? In other words, how am I living my life before the world and before others? You see, you've heard this cliche that you may be the only Bible that people read. You know, there's some truth to that. If you're letting your light so shine before the world, they can read that. They can read that. And before you tell them they need to go read the Bible, you need to be, and I need to be, living it out before them. And then maybe they'll have some interest in going and seeing what it says. Peter said, I beg you to abstain from fleshly lust, to abstain from those things that damage the reputation of Jesus in the world. Let's pray. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people. They hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Is that you? Is that me? At least at times, yes. I confess that. We don't have time to waste. We need to start getting it right, people. We need to start getting it right. God help us. God help us to get it right with you, for you, and before you. Change us, Lord. Change us. Change us by your word and by your spirit. By your word and by your spirit. By your word and by your spirit. Change us. In Jesus' name. Amen.